Yeonmi Park left North Korea, escaped really, when she was just 13 years old.
When I got to South Korea, it was actually very hard to learn about the concept of being free and learn about just democracy and learn about the choices that I had.
Yeonmi and her mother spent 2 years in China before reaching South Korea, and they endured terrible abuses along the way.
I think I'm still like in the transition to understand what it really means to be free.
Today, Yeonmi is a human rights activist and an author, and she offers a glimpse into the realities of life for North Koreans as their leader, Kim Jong-un, puts on a smile and begins to negotiate for peace.
The first question that I got in South Korea was to introduce myself. And then I said, what do you mean introduce myself? And the person said, you say your names and maybe just you talk about what's your favorite color. I did not know what was my favorite color was, because in North Korea, no one asked me. My favorite color was always red because it was revolution color.
Yeonmi is 24. She's living in Chicago now. And along with the rest of the world, she's watching the public diplomacy between South Korea, North Korea, and the United States.
South Korea says it is considering negotiating a peace treaty with the North.
Kim Jong-un of North Korea and South Korea's president say they're going to negotiate a peace treaty. And there's the shake.
Old enemies making a new push for peace. Praise for their deal pouring in.
Yeonmi is hearing all about peace, but nothing about the human rights situation in North Korea, which she compares to a Holocaust. This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Today, a look beyond the headlines of reconciliation and peace negotiations in North Korea from the experience of someone who once lived there and knows the difference between having freedom and having none.
It was so confusing. People was like asking me, what do I want to be in the future? What do I want to study? And it's like, why does it matter? Just tell me what to do. And it was so hard that I had to know what I liked. And if I choose, then I had to be responsible for the consequences. And that was painful. I really was joking that if I have enough food and not going to be executed once I'm back in North Korea, I was like, I want to go back. It was so hard to make choices. Like, where I go, even what to even eat, I think.
Well, you were 13 when you left North Korea, a couple of years in China before going to South Korea. And that says to me, you know, once you were 17, 18, you were a teenager in South Korea at a time when kids are getting together, they're socializing, maybe first boyfriend, going to movies, things like that. What we would consider in the West normal teenage things. But what were normal teenage things like for you?
As a 13-year-old, the first thing I had to see outside of the North Korea was seeing my mother was raped by the human trafficker. And I lost my faith in humanity. I was stopped being a kid. So once I arrived in South Korea, I could not be, you know, just normal 15-year-old girl. I was so afraid of trusting human beings because I lost faith in them. And I just could not trust even men. Like, how can I even imagine having a boyfriend? Because what I saw was raping my mother from them and selling us. So I couldn't have the normal childhood, and also the trauma I went through in China, that I could not talk to my friends. How can I talk to my 15-year-old fellow South Korean girl to what I went through to survive and to get out of North Korea? And they would not see me as a normal person. So I had to hide what I went through. I was very ashamed of the choice that I made to survive. And I was shutting down myself to the world, and I just read and I studied to go to university because I had to catch up a lot about the world, like what's Africa, you know, how many countries in the world.
Yeonmi, in addition to the trauma, you talk about the utter isolation from the rest of the world when you grow up in North Korea. There's talk now of an end of the state of war between North and South Korea, a peace treaty. No one knows yet how much openness that might lead to. No one knows if it would lead to North Korea opening up and being part of the world community. Have you started to think about what it would mean for people, millions of people living in North Korea, if all of a sudden at least part of that veil was lifted?
I'm so glad you're asking, and your focus is not about the nuclear weapon or the politics. It is about people in North Korea. It's very saddens me right now because it's all delusion. Even though Kim Jong-un comes to South Korea and show his, you know, funniness and kindness, and that's how he brainwashed us when I was in North Korea. He brainwashed that he's a great leader and that we have to believe in him. And now that's he's doing that to the Western world, that people in South Korea are being deceived by this dictator. That why he's coming to South Korea right now, giving these peace talks and talk about the bright future, the crackdown on North Korean people in the borders in North Korea is worse than ever before. The smuggling is not impossible right now. Nothing can go in to make people being fed. No one can escape right now. And the control for North Korean people is so severe. And the crackdown on every aspect in the society is so bad right now. People's freedom is not there. And he just, what he's doing right now is trying to maintain his power. Nothing gonna change in North Korean people's lives. I just don't know how people forget that. What can be more urgent than the lives in concentration camp in North Korea right now? That when we North Korean defectors, once they escape to China, they are being sold like pigs, like dogs, and they're being raped. And once they get caught by the Chinese authority, they are sending back to North Korea. And if women are like pregnant by Chinese men, the North Korean government, without any anesthesia, they get rid of the women's womb. They kill the babies. That's how bad the human rights abuses are happening. But all we are talking about is politics. So I really hope the world knows whatever we are doing, whatever Kim Jong-un is doing, is not affecting people's lives in a positively, for at least for North Korean people. And we should not be deceived by this dictator, and we should not be brainwashed.
Well, have you seen any indication with all the positive news of the meeting at the demilitarized zone between President Moon and Kim Jong-un, even talk of a peace talks between the United States and North Korea? Have you seen any indication that anyone is paying attention to the plight of North Korean people, or even an increase in openness for North Korea?
No, actually the quite opposite. South Korea, like a few days ago, they took all those speakers off from the DMZ line because the speakers they had to South North Korean soldiers to hear about the freedom. There was a soldier who escaped after listening to that big loudspeaker from the South Korean side. That one took down because that is irritating Kim Jong-un. So what's happening right now is that Kim Jong-un says, yeah, I'm willing to talk about nuclear weapon. I'm willing to get rid of it so as long as you don't challenge my reign in North Korea. You don't challenge my human rights abuses. So even though actually before this happened, President Trump did ask China to help this sanction and to hear about North Korean defectors' plight in China. And there was some conversation, right? But right now, because North Korean regime is willing to talk about getting rid of nuclear weapon, that we are not going to challenge him. We are not going to do anything that irritating him. And that's what South Korean President Moon Jae-in does, that he just really willing to please this dictator, even though he's imprisoning 25 million of lives. I cannot ever imagine what can be more important than this. To talk about human lives.
Well, Yeonmi Park, there's so much optimism around the world now about a potential peace deal between North and South Korea, about potential denuclearization. And you're bringing a very different message. You're saying it will be a huge missed opportunity, maybe even a tragedy, if peace happens without pressure from the South or without pressure from the Americans for better human conditions in North Korea.
So think about it. Now, Kim Jong-un says, as long as we don't bring up the issues of human rights, that he says, I'm willing to talk about the getting rid of the nukes. let's say 10 years later, he got rid of the nukes. And 10 years later, we are going to say, you cannot poison your brothers. You cannot kill your uncles. You should stop that. But then 10 years later, he's going to know, you cannot intervene my politics. Then I'm going to, you know, keep doing the nuclear test. So then are we going to silence about it again 10 years later? When is the time for us to bring up human rights? It cannot be later. It has to be right now. Because as long as we let this dictator to survive, he has always key to turn his back and do something like this, repeating what he just has done. I had to see so many dead bodies in North Korea during the 90s. And that's all the aid came from the UN, from the so many humanitarian governments, especially South Korea. And we are repeating the same mistake. Whatever you do in the news, whatever politicians do, whatever they do in their dinners, it doesn't affect us. It puts us in the prison camps, and the girls like me are still being sold in China. And girls like me, literally, still sending back to North Korea and get killed and get the forced abortion. And people have no voice, and they don't even know that they deserve this freedom like us.
Well, Yunmi, there's no free press in North Korea at all. There is a free press here in the United States, and I know that that's valuable. I wonder if you're disappointed with all of the potential of a free press here that there hasn't been really any attention on human rights. Forget about the politicians. I get why they won't talk about it. It might endanger the deal. There's been very little coverage of this in the United States as people look forward to a deal.
Oh, I hope I people will understand my perspective, because I am from really the worst place on earth. I cannot imagine there can be a worse place, North Korea, literally. It is the worst place. But even in this freedom, in this free world, I see some sadness because, as you said, we do have free press. But I don't think people are using it in a lot of times correctly and wisely, because that we don't have to follow anything. You can be anything in this world. And I think that's also why that people just do whatever thing they want, especially with the free press, you know. A lot of times I was so shocked when I came out from that dictatorship, from that darkness. What the press was talking about was actually Kim Jong-un's, you know, haircut. And they were talking about he was a joke in the Western media. And I just could not believe, how are you making fun of Hitler? Of course you can, but that's all about your news. It's all about, that's what you all do with your free voices here, just making fun of him. You don't do anything about real, like, changes that can be happening from this free voice we have. It's just all the noise that we are talking about. We are not focusing on the real thing. And I think that is also something that we need to think about when we have so much freedom here.
Yunmi Park, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yunmi Park defected from North Korea at age 13. She's now a human rights activist and author of the book In Order to Live, A North Korean Girl's Journey to Freedom.